We have now arrived at the final episode of this little sequence about pilgrimage and following my friend Kurt Rowe on his 140-mile journey from Winchester in Hampshire to Canterbury in Kent. And in this episode, we catch up with him in the last few miles of this amazing journey that he's been on. I sat him down in a beautiful place in some woodland, the lovely view, and I just quizzed him about his reflections on this journey and really its highs and lows, and also any spiritual element that's come to light as he's been walking the pilgrim's way. So I very much hope that you enjoy concluding this podcast series, and hopefully some of the things that have come up, that Kurt's talked about, that I've talked about, resonate with you. And if you want to go out on your own pilgrimage, then I'm going to put a link to the British Pilgrimage website in the show notes, so you can go and have a look at that. Or just go and find your local ancient trackway. They're all over the country, all over the world in fact, and getting out and walking in the landscape and just opening yourself up to the elements and having a look around. It's a very rewarding experience, and one that people have enjoyed for thousands of years. And I think we started off by saying how nomadic we once were. Well, we can be nomadic again, even for just a short period of time. So thank you very much. Here's Kurt's final passage, final part of his journey and his reflections on walking the pilgrim's way. Thank you. It's the last day of your journey today. So we're a mile or so into the final stage, stage 15.
Yeah.
6 miles to Canterbury.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's a good moment to reflect a little bit on the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell me one beautiful thing that you've seen?
I guess I'd like to cheat that slightly, if I may, and say beautiful vistas. I don't know, roughly every 10 miles-ish, I would see a vista from left to right, going right across a valley or a ravine, and it literally stopped me in my tracks. Often very silent as well. Yeah.
To balance that, then, one not beautiful thing, I'm not going to use the word ugly, but one thing that's visually not attractive that you've seen.
Roads stuffed with cars. Yeah.
So that lends us the idea of the quietest spot.
Yeah, that's difficult, because there have been several, fortunately, and where we are now in Kent, 5 miles outside of Canterbury, is a strong contender. I guess for me, there was a section outside Aylesford, Aylesford, and it went through Boxley, Detling, and Thurnham. And when I was there, it was absolutely pinpoint quiet.
Which is unusual, isn't it? Because this journey does track the M25, well, M3 from Winchester, you cross that, don't you? Then you do track the M25 quite a bit. And once you get to Kent, M26, M20, M2 are all quite close and quite big A roads. You're never too far away from...
It's interesting, yeah. Roughly speaking, the first 6 stages were relatively free of motorways and A roads, you know, like the M3, as you said, and the A3, but mostly free of them. And then I noticed that right about stages 7, 8, 9, and 10, it's perpetually hugging the M25, the M20, M26. But then once you start to get through that, broadly speaking, again, into Kent, the latter sort of 5 or 6 stages are void of the motorways. So it's bookended, I find, with an absence of heavy traffic.
But there must have been one hellishly noisy moment.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, there have been 2 or 3 roads like that, fortunately no more than half a mile to a mile. But for me, the most dangerous section that was noisy was the section from Otford Station to Rootham along the Pilgrim's Way East Road. And that was just downright dangerous. No pavement, barely room for 2 cars side by side, perpetual snaking traffic, and noisy, polluted, you know. And it was, I think it was possibly my worst moment, actually, the whole trip, because it was so antithetical to this that we're sitting in now. And as a suggestion to anyone that's considering doing this route, I would say if you want to, actually go north of that road from Otford Station and take the North Downs Way over the top of it, because that was actually one of the most magical moments. A labyrinthine complex of up and down paths through trees and lamb-spattered fields with jaw-droppingly beautiful vistas running way out into the distance. I couldn't believe my good fortune, you know. So, yeah, if you take the northern route instead of the East Pilgrim's Way road, you'll be in for a very beautiful, pleasant surprise.
And you must have had, you know, some challenges along the way. I know you tend to think and remember the good times, but I imagine there were some times that were, you know, challenging. So what, you know, one big challenging moment?
Well, interestingly, I feel really fortunate with this trip because I've only had one moment like that in 15 days. And it was when I, funny enough, arrived in Otford and I was staying at an Airbnb in Kemsing, which is a small village just down the road. And I was shattered. I'd been walking all day and it was coming up to 3:30 in the afternoon. And I'd been walking for 7.5 hours. My feet were really burning, you know. And I got into this housing estate and I got to number 9 of the property. I won't mention the rest of the address. I knocked on the door and a lady sheepishly opened the door. And instantly I felt it in my bones. I thought, oh no, this isn't good. I said, oh, hi, Sharon. This is, I'm Kurt. And she said, and? I said, and I'm hoping this is the Airbnb. And she said, this is not an Airbnb. And my heart sank. And she went to close the door as well. Now, at 3:30, when you're exhausted and the light's fading, you know. Oh. So that was a bit hairish. But, do you know, if that's all it was in 15 days, then I'm a very fortunate man.
And one lucky moment. When was there one lucky moment when perhaps things looked like they were going one, you know, wrong, but luck intervened and something happened and it went right?
I've had various moments of luck, I would say, and nothing seismic, you know, groundbreaking, earth-shattering. I mean, I'll give you a small example. And it's a lesson in attentiveness. I was walking in the section between Box Hill and Merstham, and it's very hilly there. Beautiful and very hilly. Up and down and, you know, difficult to find your way. And I just was walking along and I was aware of myself and I felt odd. And I just stopped immediately. I felt, okay, something's telling me to stop. And I just patted my pockets like I usually do. And my zip was open on the right side. And I'm only carrying 3 cards, a credit card, a debit card, and a driving licence. And I need the driving licence as ID to permit me to stay in hotels during COVID lockdown. So it's essential. I put my hand in my pocket and the licence had gone. And so, as you know, your first thought is, oh no, how many miles am I going to have to go now to find this card? So I turned around, I walked back, and lo and behold, 20 metres, in the dazzling sunshine, this pink rectangle.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. you know, we've talked a lot about spirituality on this journey, and I know it wasn't something you were seeking, but was there one truly spiritual experience that stands out?
Well, now, I'm a glutton for honesty, as you know, and sometimes when you're honest, it can come across in the wrong way. But since you've asked me, I'm going to be honest. And I'm at risk of sounding, to some people, like I'm a quack. To others, I'm an asshole. To others, I'm supercilious. With that in mind, I'll say it anyway. The short answer is no. And that's because, for me personally, you know quite a lot about my ontological journey and story. And it's been over 20 years of essentially Jnana yoga that has got me to a position where I am now, that's been cultivated through Taoist philosophy practice and Advaita Vedanta. And there comes a point after a period of time of connection with those kind of things and application where, for want of a better phrase, and this phrase does not accurately serve what I'm trying to explain here, whereby one enters a state of, if you wish, deep peace, or just the absence of striving and suffering. And so one of the things I guess, therefore, I was wondering would happen on the pilgrimage was, if at all, to what extent would I find that the pilgrimage becomes a reflection of that state. And, you know, in that sense, this pilgrimage has really, if you like, been a confirmation. But there's a very interesting thing because, you know, most of us, it seems, think that states of bliss and achievement, blah, 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 however you want to phrase it, that all the language doesn't serve it, really. It's beyond language. But there's a tendency to think it's an incredibly blissful state where you'll just send out all the time. It's actually not the case. And I think one of my favourite descriptions of this is by Daisetsu Taitaro Suzuki, who, when asked, how would you describe enlightenment? He said, ordinary life, 2 inches off the ground. Now, I'm not claiming I'm enlightened, because the moment you do that, you're not. What I am saying is when one is truly liberated, and by the way, there is no one in that sense of a personal egoic self, it still rains. You still have to take a shit. People are nice to you, people are horrible to you. Thoughts and emotions go through your body still. It's just that you're, so to speak, not attached to them. So if you like, the pilgrim's way is nothing more than a walk. It's nothing different and special. And it has the potential to be the catalyst or the portal to a very, very different experience.
And that, my dear friends, is where we leave this journey. Kurt and I continued. We walked the last few miles. His partner, Selena, joined us. And it was a beautiful sunny day, very apt for finishing a pilgrimage. We walked into Canterbury. And then something rather wonderful happened when we got to the cathedral. The lovely lady on the door, when she heard of Kurt's pilgrimage, she offered to get the canon to come and give him a blessing, and which duly happened, and he was taken into a private part of the cathedral where he was given a blessing, and that seemed a very apt way for him to finish this spiritual journey in at least the physical realm. I'm sure that there'll be many things from this journey that will resonate with Kurt for a very long time. So thank you very much for listening and taking this journey with him and with me. And I do hope that you subscribe to the podcast, or at least dip in and listen to some other stuff that that we've got coming up, and other people that I'll interview, and other subjects that we'll cover. But thank you very much for listening. It's very much appreciated by Kurt and myself.